We're excited to be here tonight. Really are. It's always exciting for me to get a chance to preach. And I enjoy myself when I preach, so I would like you to enjoy yourself too. Now, if something you'd enjoy is a nap, I do ask that you nod as you sleep, not do this, okay? That way I at least think you're agreeing with me. That would help me a lot. If you'd turn to Matthew 6, I'd like to go over something with you tonight that I need. Oftentimes when I'm preparing messages, it comes out of my own devotions or things the Lord has laid on my heart. And so I always figure if you didn't need it, at least I could get something out of it. And this has been a good study for me here. In Matthew 6, we're going to be actually looking at the last part of that chapter, verses 19 through 34. But just some interesting things here is Jesus teaches on giving, and he teaches on prayer and fasting. And then he comes to the end of the chapter, and he says some things that I think we can pull together and draw some good principles from. And so as we go into this tonight, I titled this, Getting First Things First. My dad used to have a saying that I heard a lot. They called me Bobby. Bobby, don't put the cart before the horse. Have you ever heard that one before? And he came from the age when they actually plowed the fields and hauled things with horses and things. And I didn't get to do that in a real work setting. We did that in fun settings. I did have my own horse, and it didn't work real good if you got things ahead of the horse. So he would say, don't get the cart ahead of the horse. But he was basically saying, let's get things in the right order. Let's get the right priorities. And I'd like to take a look at that in this passage as we look at it together tonight. You know, I've heard it said that a person can tell someone else's priorities by looking at their checkbook and their calendar. You know what? If you look at my calendar, and I daily write things down that I need to do and things that are on ahead, and my wife doesn't let me use the checkbook, but if you did look at the checkbook, you would see Diane's priorities. If you look at the calendar, you see mine. But I'm just kidding there a little bit. She's here tonight. You know I would never pick on her if she wasn't here. Okay, maybe we should just have a word of prayer right now, and I can get my heart right with the Lord, but I am glad she's in here with us. So, as you look at priorities in your own life, tonight I'd just like you to be honest with yourself. I'm not here to beat you up or anything, but I'll tell you what, the Lord kind of worked me over on this. You find something here that's kind of unusual. I tried so hard to come up with positive points. I've got 3 points. But as I read this passage, I realized that God used negatives all the way through here. You're going to see a lot of no's and nots as you read this passage. And so I started each of my main points with a don't. It's one of those really kind of downers. But I don't think it's going to be a tough night on you that way. I just like you to be honest with yourself. And as I want to be that, what are we actually doing that matches up with what God's priorities are in our life? We all live a different life, but in a lot of ways it's very similar, is it not? We're human beings. God knows all about us. I talked to you about my father. I couldn't help but reflect back as I was thinking about this, just the things that they taught us. And all parents should be teaching their kids priorities, right? One of the problems with our society is that parents are not taking time to teach priorities to their kids. They taught us about money. They taught us it was important to save before we spent. Now, that's not a real popular thing anymore. I think some of our government officials could probably benefit from my parents' teaching. We wouldn't be in so much debt, would we? They taught us the fact that before you played, you should work. Who said that? That was good. Okay, you should do your work before you play. I really thought it should be the other way around. For those of you that know me, I wasn't so much into playing, but I really was into sports, and I really thought that if I got my sports practice out of the way, that would be far more important than getting down to the fields and working with my dad. But he thought I should go and work with him and then go play, and that really cut into my sports time. So as you think of those kind of things, get your mind going a little bit, work before pleasure, obviously. They taught us about the priority of the local church. I grew up in a busy home. Both parents, my mother was a teacher, my dad was a shipping clerk, but he also had a farm on the side. This wasn't an operating farm, this wasn't a hobby farm. We raised cattle and we raised cash crops. And so they taught us that whatever you're doing, you stopped and went to church. Church was a priority. I never wondered, even though the other farmers kept working, Dad was at every service. We had special meetings, we were there. Youth activities, we were there. It wasn't a question of where we going, it was just a question of if we got there on time, because we were busy right up to the last minute. And I was telling somebody tonight, I had sisters, getting into the bathroom was a tough thing when you had four other women in the house and one bathroom, but there were some priorities there that I would like to change. All right. So if, as I thought of my parents' life and I was reflecting back, I thought, you know, it would have been a very chaotic life, frantic, with all they did if they didn't have their priorities in the right order, wouldn't it? And instead, it was a wonderful childhood, and I appreciate the godly example that they gave me. And so I thought that would be a good illustration as we started tonight. There's some things here that I think we do need to just talk about a little bit. We're human beings, and we're going to look at things through an eternal perspective, through God's perspective tonight. And human beings do have their priorities change. Are you aware of that? We are not God. In other words, what's a priority to me right now is not the same priorities I had when I was the age of some of these college kids. Matter of fact, there's a lot of different things. We won't go into them right now because I could have some fun with it, but we've got a lot to say. But my priorities are different now because of age, are they not? Our circumstances can change our priorities, can they? He was just mentioning to me a young lady that talked to him today, and she's in my son's church up in Chesapeake, Virginia. And this summer, as a good parent, my son and daughter-in-law put their kids to bed. And that should be a priority. Your kids should get to bed at a decent time and should get a good night's rest, and they should stay in bed, shouldn't they? But you know what? When your house is burning down, the priority is to get the kids out of the house and out into the street and out in the middle of the night. And their priorities change that night, even though normally the priority would be everybody in their beds, everybody be quiet, nobody gets up. Good thing they got up that night, wasn't it? All right, priorities change. But with God, the priorities we're going to talk about are eternal. They do not change, and they will help us to know how to prioritize our life. And that's what I want to get to tonight. I saw a couple other things that were kind of interesting. In verses 19 through 24, there's a warning to those people who have treasure not to focus on it because it leads to a wasted life. But you go immediately to verses 25 through 34, there's a warning to those who have very little in this life. And the warning is to not focus on that because it'll lead to a wasted life. Is that not interesting that God touches both? Now, chances are you're in this room and you're saying, I don't have a lot of treasure, but you know, compared to the rest of the world, we do. We've got a lot of treasure. And Pastor hits that over and over again, and you were just in Guyana, and you know what I'm talking about here. Anybody that's been to a third world country understands what we take for granted, the things we throw away, our treasure's there. And so God says, hey, those who have a lot, you can't focus on that. And those who have little, don't focus on that. But God then give our life meaning and a real, get our priorities in order. So here's what I'd like to ask you tonight. Am I focused more on temporal things than eternal things? Simple question. So I'm going to keep it just like that because I want you to think that way tonight as we're talking. And of course, the most important thing, if I would say there's one priority, and I don't know what your need is in this room. Generally speaking, I say everybody has this taken care of, but I can't be guaranteed of that. Have you taken care of the most important thing? The biggest priority is your salvation. Do you know for sure that you are actually laying up treasure in heaven? Is this past? You can't do it if you haven't been born again. And I'd like to encourage you to consider that tonight as well. The Bible says in Mark, I believe it's 836, Mark 8 anyway, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, but he lose his own soul? So tonight we're going to look at a few things like that. Let's pray, then we'll read this passage together, and I'd like to just consider some thoughts from putting first things first. Lord, we're asking tonight for your word to be the main thing tonight. God, we want to communicate clearly. We want our folks to be encouraged and blessed and helped. God, I want that same thing myself, so I pray that your Holy Spirit might help me as I speak, help each one that's within the sound of our my voice tonight to be Holy Spirit led as they listen. And I pray that you do the work that needs to be done. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd read with me, I'd like to read these verses starting in Matthew 6, verse 19. Should I be taking this down, Larry, or not? Should I move this? Okay. Has that been bothering you? Okay. I know Pastor always moves it, and all right, we're good here. All right, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, and basically meaning unhealthy, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, or the trouble, thereof. I obviously took the title from verse 33, seek ye first. And tonight, let's look at making first things and putting first things first. First thing I'd like you to look at is in verse 19 through 24, a passage that is talking about investment. Don't invest in earthly things. If you're taking notes, that's the first point. Don't invest in earthly things. It's a strong statement because we are Americans. And we are taught to save and invest. The president of the college just wrote an article and the newsletter went out and it said, we've got to get rid of the American dream. You know what? That's hard to do because it's inbred in us because we're Americans and we believe we have a right and almost an obligation to pursue that. But you know what? God is not against us having those things. He's against those things having us. He's against the focus of getting those things because he realizes what it will take from us. In other words, when the Bible tells us we shouldn't will to be rich, when we put our will that direction, we can't focus on but a few things at a time, folks. We are just made that way, and the focus will go off from spiritual things, but it'll be on something that's very temporal. If you have investments right now, you're probably enjoying it like I'm watching my retirement fund. It does not have an up to it. It has a lot of downs, though. And you think, really? But you know what? That's not where my security is. And by the way, my security and yours is not in Social Security. And I've been preaching that for a long time. But chances are, I'll get it, Andrew. But I wouldn't count on yours, okay? All right. Social Security, these kind of things, that's trusting a government then, is it not? And so as we focus here tonight, we've got to decide, what do we really treasure? What do we treasure? If we're going to lay up treasure, what is it that you treasure? What is a treasure? You can help me here, so you stay in it with me. Quickly now, because I just speak up, raise your hand. What's a treasure? Something important, right? And why is it important? Because I place value on it, correct? I remember I was probably a teenager, and I was getting to that age where I was thinking I was ready to have a car. I started driving very young. I could not see over the steering wheel. Out in the farm country, you had to get to help other farmers, and so I was driving when I was probably, I don't know, 10, 11. But country roads, people could see me because I was in a car, but I couldn't see them. But the point I'm getting at here is my dad had this car that was out behind the barn, and I would look at that. It was put there for obvious reasons. No one would buy it, and he didn't use it for a trade-in. And it sat there for a few years, and I kind of started looking that car over thinking, I could put this in use, you know? And the mice had gotten to the inside. It was pretty well eaten up, and the outside was already in bad shape, and the engine wasn't running. And I looked at it for a little bit, and I remember thinking, this is a piece of junk. But, you know, years later, a guy came by our farm to do some work or something, and he wanted that car so bad, and it wasn't any special model. It wasn't like a, you know, a 57 Chevy or something like that. It was just a piece of junk, and he fell in love with that, and he actually paid my dad. I was surprised Dad would even take money for it to drag that thing out from behind the barn, you know? And he placed treasure on junk, did he not? Now, I'm just going to stop here. This is going to hit a little bit, but are we not doing the same thing? God is saying what most of us are investing in, our time, our energy, our affections, our money, he says is junk. It has no eternal value. And God is saying, you know what? All that's going towards that could be invested in eternity. So he says, don't invest in eternal things. I see something here. It's a clear command. It's not just, you know, a thought. Maybe you should consider this. Yeah, I don't know how many of you have ever been in management, but that's kind of, you know, there's a way to get things done. Having been a coach, I'd rather just bark an order and have it done right now, but Diane doesn't like that. I shouldn't do that. But you try to ask a question and maybe make a suggestion and hoping the people under you might just do it. And eventually you come along and say, you know what? I can't use it again, Diane. I'm going to be in big trouble. Here's the way we're going to do it. I want it done now or sooner because I've already asked once and I mentioned it. And I mentioned it because it's important to me. And so let's get her done. God's saying right here, he's giving a command. He's saying, lay not up. He's not saying, you know, I'd like you to consider this and just think how it fits with your philosophy of life and your upbringing. He's laying it out pretty straight for us here. So I like that. He says, don't invest your resources in anything that won't last for eternity. And then I see in verse 21, if you'll glance there with me, he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our heart is our concerns, our affections. It's things we put our confidence in often. Our confidence is involved in our heart. Ethan was giving his testimony tonight, and I appreciated what he had to say. It's hard to trust somebody you don't know, isn't it? So, you know, when you're doing business dealings, I like to get to know a little bit about a guy because I'll know if I can trust him. Doesn't mean I won't do business with him, but I'll know if I can trust him, right? Know what to expect. And he has a right to know that of me, by the way. So the heart's very important here. The Bible says your heart's going to be with your treasure. Easy to do a check then, isn't it? See where your heart is. See where your treasure is. Your heart's going to be right there with it. So what do you think about? What do you treasure? What do you value? Just be honest with yourself tonight and join the club. I've been doing this week as I prepared, or actually for more than a week. So if you look at this, and if I was to say, therefore, in conclusion, as we look at the command on investing, I must choose, if God's word is true, I must choose to invest myself in eternal and spiritual things. I've got to make that a priority. I have to make spiritual a priority. And so how do I make things in my life a priority? I usually write them down and start to practice them. Things that I want to do different. Okay. Now, Just say, for example, now you would never believe this, but I wanted to lose weight. I could just say, and I do, by the way, just you're supposed to laugh, but everybody just looked at me. I would like to lose about 10 pounds, all right? And I want to lose 10 pounds. If I'm going to make that a priority, I've got to do something about it, right? I have to change my practice, the way I live, the way I eat, really. But it wouldn't hurt to do a little more exercise and things like that. And so it's the same thing with spiritual things. We've got to start practicing thinking God's way, thinking what is really important. And we need to put it into practice. I must invest myself in them. You know, I've got three things fighting me all the time on the spiritual end. What are they? Three things are fighting us constantly. You have it too? Okay. It's a bad package. I mean, we're triple teamed all the time. I don't know if you ever played sports, but, you know, when they had somebody that's hard to guard, as a basketball coach for 40-some years, somebody's hard to guard, you double-teamed him. Okay? Well, we're triple-teamed. And one of the people that's against me is me. That's not fair. Okay? But my flesh is against myself, is it not? Satan's got a plan to take me down. He knows. He's a master psychologist. He can figure out how Bob Christensen can fail and fall and falter. And you got a whole world system that's opposed to everything that God's trying to tell you tonight. And you're going to live in that and work in it and watch it on television. And if you follow the debates, I shouldn't even go there, but politics and that whole system is really not for God, is it? And so we must then say, I've got to fight here. It's so easy to just go through life and say, I wonder why I'm getting smacked around. I wonder why I can't get victory. I wonder why I don't have much interest in spiritual things. I wonder why I don't have much laid up in heaven. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil are triple teaming you every day of your life. We need to move on quickly. Second thing is, the second don't, is don't worry about everyday needs. In verses 25 through 32, and I'll read that for you quickly. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body raiment? And it talks about the folds of the air, trying to add height to our own body, the raiment, as we go on through that. And it says, yet I say unto you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. And then he kind of chastises us in verse 30 and says, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought. You know, that word no thought really means don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. And this is one of the things that, you know, it's really tough for me. It seems like, I don't know that I'm a worrier, but I sure do think and plan a lot. But I did see a survey that helped me a while back. It said that worry really does work, and probably some of you have seen that same worry, but 98% of the things that we worry about never come to pass. And so it does pay to stay up late at night worrying, to wake up many times a night and just worry and worry, because a lot of that stuff won't even happen if you worry about it. Now, I'm tongue-in-cheek for those of you that are taking notes. That doesn't really work that way. You know what? All that does is make you tired, wears you out. It'll physically get you sick. I've had an ulcer before, and I'll tell you what, you don't want to go through that. And as I started a business one time, I thought, you know what? I started this with the Lord. You can have it back, Lord. I don't need that pressure. Now, I kept the business, but I was able to do it with God's help. And you know what? He increased it, blessed it. We saw wonderful things. But when you're on your own, it's kind of tough, isn't it? God tells us, don't worry about your everyday needs. All of us have them. And some of us have a variety of needs. You say, my needs are unusual. But you know what? They're not so unusual that God isn't aware of them. They're not so unusual that there are other people who have never gone through that before. And that's such a blessing to me. That's why your testimonies and your lives and the way we encourage each other here is important, is it not? We realize that other people are trying to live to the Lord, for the Lord, and invest in eternal things, going through the same type of things we go through. It's kind of nice to know. I like to hear Joe tell stories about his construction projects and the mistakes he makes. and gets hurt, because I do the same thing, you know. But you know, spiritually, it's wonderful to see that other people every once in a while aren't just the perfect Christian all the time, is it not? We're not trying to help each other be bad, but that we realize they're under conviction too. They sometimes fail to witness too. They sometimes are struggling in an area just like I am. And it's a blessing to find that out. So God has a plan for all this, but don't worry about everyday needs. The phrase here, take no thought, is used six times here in one form or another. And to not worry does not mean that you fail to work, that you fail to plan, that you don't take responsibility and ownership. But it means that you do it in prayer and you leave the results to God. Because you know what? At our best, we're still going to make mistakes and fall, aren't we? But God is still going to try to make good. And He can. I said He's going to try. I try to make good. God can make good even out of bad situations, if I'm willing to let Him do it. Some of you have heard me preach before. You know, I'm a John Wayne fan. And, you know, that's the guy that can just basically pull himself up by his own bootstraps. The older I get, the more I realize I can't do that anymore. But, you know, I never could, even when I thought I could. We need God. Young people, the quicker you realize that, the more effective you're going to be in serving the Lord. Old people, Jim, I got my eye right. The quicker we realize that, the more we're going to be used to God. Is it not true? Because we wake up every day and we're going to either walk with God or we're going to walk by ourselves. Where's your focus? The illustration's been told, and I believe it's a true account. I did not actually research this out, but about a lady who spent her life just miserable, many needs, sickly woman, finally passed away, and just lived in abject poverty. And they found that her house was papered with government checks that she had never cashed. Just as we talk tonight about treasure, she didn't know what to put value on, did she? But she lived a complaining, miserable life, and she had resources. How sad it is when it's you or me, and the resources are there, and we're miserable and not taking advantage of them. And we're worrying about things that we don't have to, because we got a God that's on top of it all. As we looked at this passage, we saw how God is in charge and on top of every area of life. And He's saying, how much more, my people, my creation, the ones who I take delight in. It's not that He doesn't delight in the rest of creation, but He takes a special delight in His human creation. And then how much more when we become part of His family and we've subjected our will to His by faith and accepted that adoption. Is that not a wonderful thing? Just as you as a dad or mother would be concerned about your children, right? You know, I'm very concerned about mine, and they're grown. And you know what? I'm still concerned. God can care a whole lot better than I can care. He can love a whole lot better than I can love. He knows far more what they need. And He can actually meet the need. So often I look and say, if I could just, but I can't. I'm not there. I don't have that resource. But God can. And He's looking at you and I and saying, you're my child. You've got a special place in my heart. I've got these needs covered. You don't need to worry. Let me take care of it for you. Well, the principle here is, depend on God. The question is, why should I? I live in America. Even if I quit working, I can probably get a check, right? Or I could be taken care of. But whether I can or not, cannot get a check, I still need to depend on God, do I not? And that's the principle here. God is telling me in this passage a couple things. I'll go quickly because I know time is almost gone. Life is far more than food or clothing. It's a whole lot more than just that. Sad to say, the majority of people we're coming in contact with and the people we're going to invite to our friend day that are unsaved, they can't figure out what life is about. Is it just about another weekend of entertainment? Is it just to work hard so that I can go on a vacation? Is it just to buy food and clothing. I've had people that I've witnessed to just say, it's just the same old, over and over. Every day is the same. And I think, it doesn't have to be that for a Christian. God's going to take care of those special needs, and He's going to give me a purpose for living, is He not? Wonderful thought. We see the directive that God not only knows our needs, He's pointing it out as He talks about His creation, and He's not only knows them, but He can supply them. And that's why I should depend on Him. We see in verse 27, and that's referring to trying to add a cubit to your stature, and if I had a little more time, I'd to have a little fun with, I really loved playing basketball. I would have loved to have been about a foot taller, but I couldn't add a foot, much less a cubit. And you know what? That's up to God, isn't it? All right? And so He says we can't change ourselves. We can't even sometimes change our environment. But we can be what God wants us to be in that environment, and we can be content with ourselves. And if God's even concerned about plants and animals, He says, even so much more. You're much more important to me than that. And I like the fact it's in writing. You didn't just have to hear it from me. You can read it for yourself. God says, you're much more important to me than that. And so when you start feeling like, well, God can't be interested in me, and the woe is me's, or sometimes we get down on ourselves because of our failures and our weaknesses, God says, you mean much more to me, and I'm going to supply all their needs. I'm taking care of you. I'm here. I'm committed to you. He's just asking us to trust Him back. Freedom from worry for a Christian, just to summarize this, is going to come from within. It's not going to come from without. If we're looking outside for freedom from worry, it's not going to happen. But if we look within, the Holy Spirit's there. We've got a Savior. If you're born again, if you've trusted Christ for your salvation, you're His child. The Holy Spirit's working within you, and He's trying to take care of that. He wants to give you peace and contentment, something that other people and circumstances can't bring. And when we're looking in the wrong places for it, my friends, we've got our priorities wrong. Let's summarize this up quickly with the last point, and we'll be done. It's don't neglect eternal priorities, verses 33 and 34. Don't neglect eternal priorities. Verse 33 is a verse that all of us want to claim. It's a beautiful, meaningful, it's a wonderful verse. But might I say that it's claimed by many, but it's realized by few. Let me read it for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what? We want all these things. But seeking the kingdom of God first and His righteousness is a condition that we need to meet. And so what does that mean? When God says, seek ye first, He means it. He's not just laying it out as a suggestion again. He's saying, if you want to have this, seek first the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? Let's think quickly together. If there's a kingdom, there is a king, right? Who is the Lord of your life? Who makes your plans? Who directs your thoughts? Do you seek the king first, or do you seek yourself first? If you seek yourself first, you're the king of your kingdom. You're looking at the wrong kingdom. So, there's a lordship. There's a kingdom requires a king, a ruler. Now, what is this kingdom about? Well, that kingdom that we're supposed to seek is about who God is and what His will is. So it'd be very important that we understand something about God. If we understand who God is, we'll understand His character. If we can understand His character, that'll help us understand His will. But until you understand God, you won't understand the kingdom of God. All you'll understand is the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of your flesh. And if Satan can get his attacks to work on you, he'd like to have you completely blind to the kingdom of God, even as a Christian. Have you ever run anybody just a wasted life? Diane and I often talk about some of the people that we've even ministered with along the years, and people we grew up with in the same churches. You know what? They've wasted their life. It was just a matter of priorities. They weren't seeking first the kingdom of God, and now their lives are shipwrecked. I know I'm taking too long here, but I had a friend, a man who really reached out to us a few years back in a ministry I was in, took his life about 2 weeks ago. And I tell you, he was a prominent figure in several churches in that Kansas City area. And I thought, what a waste and what a poor testimony for the Lord. Because I thought of all the people that he had impacted. And I don't know the facts of it. I didn't call to find out. But I have some assumptions that if we were to talk about treasure tonight in the mammon of this world, it would probably be associated with Denny's death. Very, very successful businessman. Very, very wealthy man. But you know what? It didn't satisfy. Didn't bring him peace. Didn't bring him contentment. He could buy and sell whatever he wanted. The kingdom of God. It requires a king. It consists of God, who God is, what God wills. If I can make a simple deduction, and I believe you can all make the same deduction, that kingdom is going to be the opposite of my will. It's going to be the opposite of my flesh. It's going to be the opposite of this world. So when you find yourself conforming and thinking the other way, you're looking at you're seeking first the wrong kingdom, aren't you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is His righteousness? Well, let me tell you about my righteousness first. This is not a bragamony. This is a confession. Mine is filthy rags. I'm undone. I'm dead man's bones. That's my righteousness. And I love you all, but that's just how righteous you are too. You've got nothing good. I have nothing good to offer God. He is good. He is righteous. He has everything to offer us. Seek His righteousness. Then we can claim the last part of verse 33. All these things that we want. We want these things. He can add them to us. Until we can seek Him first, He probably can't even trust us with them. We would probably misuse them. We'd probably abuse them. And you know we have, if you're honest tonight, right? Have we not all done that? Be honest with God. How do you seek this? There's a sequence here that is kind of interesting, but how do you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? One easy thing is just to get in a regular habit of reading the Bible. I thank God for my family. I always knew my parents had their Bibles. I knew they read their Bible every day. I don't recall them ever telling me I had to. I just thought you're supposed to. I started reading my Bible long before I was saved. Probably didn't hurt a bit. But you know what? That was a good study to get into. And then as you're saved, the Bible actually takes on real meaning, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit's inside of us wanting to teach us and direct us. And you'll find out as you read the Bible how God thinks and acts. That's going to give you the information that you need to think and act correctly. And follow this sequence and we're done. If we act correctly, that's called obeying God, correct? Would you all agree with this? Just think through the sequence with me. If we obey God, we're going to follow His priorities. Would you agree? Staying with me here? Okay, if we follow His priorities, we're going to realize His provision. Is that not what this passage is talking about? Because he said that would happen. All right? If we see His provision and find out that He's going to provide for us, we begin to trust Him, right? And if we trust Him, we can be content with what He gave us. Now, it might not be what somebody else has, but we can be content with what He gave us. If we're content with His provision, you can have freedom from worry. Isn't it an interesting sequence? And each one will result from just getting to know God the way you should, seeking Him first. My favorite verse, my life verse, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And in that, in verse 6, it talks about acknowledge in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And if I could just say one thing tonight as we finish, whatever you do, acknowledge God. Just say, God, You're in this first. This isn't me. If you find that you can't say that, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. If you find you can't say that, maybe you shouldn't be watching that. If you find that you can't say that, maybe you shouldn't be saying that. If you find that you can't say that, maybe you shouldn't be thinking that. And you can just fill in the rest of the blanks because there's probably other things, but time has failed us and I've gone too long. Thank you for your good attention. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so quick to have the wrong priorities. We invest wrong. And God, we see the senseless waste of our time, which represents our life. God, we waste our money and our energy. And God, we confess it to you as wrong. I thank you for these folks, for their encouragement to me. And I pray that as we consider our priorities tonight, that we might change the things that need to be changed. And Lord, that we might let you be God, and we seek first your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.